is Free Talk Live, and we are launching into the third hour of the program. The toll-free number is 855-453. That's 1-855-450-3733. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features you'll find there. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. Here with you tonight, it's Ian.
Allie.
And Mark.
We've been talking for most of the show about an email or a Facebook message that I've been sending a series of them back and forth between some local high schoolers, as many of them have been very upset that a certain group of activists, including myself, have been going to their school campus, passing out information out in front of the school when they are let out. And this is something that, to some extent or another, has been going on for a few years here in the Keene, New Hampshire area, as the Free State Project has moved a bunch of liberty-loving activists here to New Hampshire. A number of them are in the Keene area, and some people here are willing to take a little bit more of an unusual approach to doing activism. And this is a particularly controversial form of activism, not just to the community at large, but also to within the activism community itself. And so some kids are upset that we're on their campus. They don't understand that it is everyone's campus, or at least in theory it is. Because the idea of public property is that either everyone owns it or no one does, right? That's the concept behind public property. Because if it's public, it should be open to everyone. And therefore, who is the owner of it? Because
I think the concept is that, most accurately, that it's owned by the government and open to the public for specific purposes.
Well, that's not the way I feel like it should be.
I concur with
you. Right? Because if you have a right to assemble, you go into the Constitution, the First Amendment, it's right there in the First Amendment that you have the right to free speech, you have the right to assemble, to peaceably assemble. We were not being violent, we were being peaceful, we were handing out information to these young people. And these rights, the Bill of Rights, are what the government is supposed to respect. These are not the only rights in the world. These are just the ones that this government, the U.S. government and all its subsidiaries, the states and the local governments, are supposed to respect. They're supposed to not traverse them. They're supposed to not cross these rights. And so they're supposed to apply on public property, at least in theory.
Well, the Constitution doesn't allow for public schools in the first place.
No, it doesn't.
So I don't know what kind of argument to make for public property in the Constitution when the public schools are the public property in question, but they're already unconstitutional.
Great point. Well, clearly, these people don't care about what the Constitution says. They only care about their own power and their system and making sure it stays funded.
I wouldn't doubt that there were public schools in some places in the United States at the time the Constitution was written.
I thought they didn't come about until the 1800s.
They didn't become as widespread, but there certainly were publicly funded schools. And the question is, was anybody out there wanting to protest on that land, and were they disallowed? And I doubt that's the case. I mean, I wouldn't know.
Maybe it is just the Department of Education specifically that
sure.
is unconstitutional. Maybe the Constitution doesn't restrict states' rights to provide their own public schools. I'm not a constitutional scholar. Ask Obama, I guess.
You wouldn't have a teacher out there, or you wouldn't have a situation of a lawsuit at that point anyway. I mean, you can imagine at that time frame, the teacher would go out, slap somebody in the face with a blackboard, and that'd be it.
Well, I had explained to her what was happening is I'm talking with this young lady in a series of emails or Facebook posts going back and forth, and it's gotten so lengthy that I decided let's read some of this on the air here and help other people who might be in a similar position as her to perhaps understand the circumstances in which they find themselves. Because when you're in the government schools, you are subject to what they tell you and what other information you might happen to pick up from your parents at home. And so let me go on here with what she has to say. She says, for the schools, there is no threat. If you don't want to pay your taxes, which is what I assume you're referring to, because I told her that I was under the threat of having my house stolen from me, she says, then don't. No one's forcing you to.
What?
You're getting privileges for paying your taxes and helping the youth of America, which in any case can be taken away. Just like when you're a child growing up, you get freedom from your parents, but if you misbehave, in most households, you'll get grounded. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. That's not disrespect. That's courtesy. So she says,
"What is the? I'm trying to follow the logical line between, you know, you don't have to pay for schools and you'll have privileges taken away. You'll be thrown in jail. I mean, mostly if you don't pay your, what you'll have in the situation of property taxes, which is mostly where school funding comes from, is your house will be taken away from you.
I will be ejected from my home.
The house that you own, supposedly, and I'm putting quotation marks around that because you don't actually own. You don't. Nobody does. Anybody listening to me doesn't own property. Governments own property, and you rent it from them. And that's reality. That they'll tell you otherwise. I mean, you they'll claim you're a homeowner or a householder.
So maybe what she's saying here is that I'm getting the privilege of being able to sit in this home that I own, and that it will be taken. That privilege will be taken away
if I don't
pay. She's
not saying that because she likely doesn't understand that people don't really own their homes. The fact is, you know, sadly, that things haven't changed much from the times of kings and lords till now. I mean, essentially, the government claims to own all property in the same way that the king claimed to own all property. And you rent that ability to, you know, improve or do whatever to the property. And then when you do improve the property, they raise your taxes. You put a nicer house, they'll raise your taxes. And you'll pay more to educate kids. Now, I'd like to address this idea that, well, we're building a better America by educating the youth. Look, yeah, I will agree with you that having educated people in my vicinity is good for me. But it's good for me to have a Walmart in town or a paint store or, you know, whatever other business is in town. But that doesn't mean that I have to support that place unless I want something specifically from it. I mean, you know, so I do, it's better if I mow my grass, but nobody's going to come out and mow my grass for me. I mean, just because I make the neighborhood look better doesn't mean that, you know, it's the obligation of some 17-year-old girl to come by and mow my grass because, well, it makes the neighborhood look better. No. I mean, that doesn't hold water. I have no obligation to educate other people's kids. I've got my own kid who I want to homeschool, okay? That means that the parents of the children who are sending their kids to school, I guess, have the expectation that I'm going to peel off money that I would otherwise spend on my son's education to educate their kids. Why am I responsible for educating their kids?
You're not, but you'll have your house stolen from you if you don't.
Right. And so, I mean, you know, this line of logic is really faulty and all full of holes. I'd love to have somebody who can debate it well, you know, come on the air and defend it, because I certainly don't understand.
She says, next, the principal, Mr. Butterfield, never threatened you. Calling the police to protect minors is not a threat, no matter how you look at it. The police are here to protect their town's citizens. If you feel harmed or threatened at any moment whatsoever, you have a right to call the cops. He simply used his rights while you were using yours. If you think that's threatening you, in my opinion, are a hypocrite. No offense, she says.
What's hypocritical about that?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But anyway, she's suggesting here that it's not a threat when you call the police to protect minors. But I would like to ask, protect them from what? In what way were they in danger? Well, in no way, shape, or form. Unless the danger or the threat is the ideas. The ideas that could potentially open minds to, you know, a new way of looking at things. If that's what they were protecting the minors from, then it totally makes sense that they would call the police out to put a stop to that. Because certainly no one was in physical danger while I was there. She says, I believe you're not understanding me correctly. I don't think exercising your rights is disrespectful. I think the way you're exercising them is disrespectful, along with the majority of my school. Apparently they've taken a poll. I think that there was a much better way you could have done what you did, i.e. not videotaping.
I probably agree with that.
I.e. not videotaping the whole situation.
Okay, so I don't think videoing is the issue, but...
Well, some people do. They believe that they, as minors, have a right to be free from being videotaped.
Interesting. So
I don't know who's told them that, but it's not true. If you are on the streets, I don't care how old you are subject to being video recorded.
Yeah, if you're in public, you're subject to video recording. I mean, you know, some people don't like being video recorded, and I've got that, but that's not a right.
And as I've pointed out, when we've gone to this school, if someone has asked, hey, I don't want to be recorded, we don't make a point of recording that person. I'm recording Derek J. handing out information to young people at this school, and if you happen to pass by my camera as I'm recording Derek J.,
that instant,
there's not much I can do about that. But I'm not going to zero in on a student and make them uncomfortable or anything like that. In fact, there are instances where a young lady had told me she didn't want to be recorded, and I made a point of avoiding recording her. More coming up. Free Talk Live.
the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
In the past, I've taken a lot of different vitamins, some through health food stores, some that friends recommend.
Colleen talking about her experience with Super Sea Veg.
And with the Super Sea Veg, I was seeing a lot better results.
Super Sea Veg with Vita D and C-Cal is the most powerful dietary food supplement in the world today, and nothing else comes close.
Super Sea Veg is a whole food that makes me feel good.
Think of Super Sea Veg as the un-vitamin.
I have taken other things, and they just didn't work. This seems to work for me.
And Super Sea Veg comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee.
Store-bought vitamins do not have the supplement and the full, whole feeling I have from Super Sea Veg.
Get 15% off your first purchase on our website, SuperSeaVeg.com. That's Super, SeaVeg.com. At checkout, enter coupon code UNVITAMIN. Or place your order at 866-SEA-VEG. That's 866-732-8344. Eating Super Sea Veg daily is eating right.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want. The toll-free number, 855-453. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-855-450-3733. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features there, so enjoy those. Again, Free Talk Live BroadbandTalkLive.com. Listening options are available for you on our website. We've got broadband, mid-band, and narrowband streams, three different sizes to fit any internet connection, all free and available around the clock. The latest episode of Free Talk Live is there for you at listen.freetalklive.com. Plus, you'll learn about the over 100 great radio stations that air the show throughout the country, the satellite listening options we have, including XM Satellite Radio, by the way, two channels were on XM, and other satellite options, including the KU band choice, which is free to air, the webcam, and the listen lines that allow you to call from any phone that can dial long distance and listen that way. Plenty of different ways to get Free Talk Live into your ears at listen.freetalklive.com.
Bitcoins are the world's first anonymous digital cash. With Bitcoins, there are no contracts to sign or terms of service to abide by. Anyone can download the free Bitcoin software and be using them in just a few minutes. With Bitcoins, you can send and receive money anywhere in the world without needing permission from any bank or government. To learn how, visit weusecoins.org. And now, thanks to BitInstant.com, you can have Bitcoins in less than an hour by depositing cash at any major bank. To buy your Bitcoins with cash, visit BitInstant.com.
All right, so we're sharing with you a series of, well, not really a series of, but the latest in a series of emails that I've kept to myself until this point, between myself and a young lady who goes to one of the local high schools, who, among other people, has been a little perturbed, upset even, that liberty activists like myself have gone down and done some outreach at the school. And so we've been kind of conversing back and forth on a variety of different subjects, everything from rights to the violence of the state or the violence inherent in the system. And, of course, she can't yet see the gun in the room. And as you pointed out, Mark, nothing you say to somebody who's new to the ideas of liberty is going to cause that person to say, "My God, I never saw it that way before. Thank goodness you came along to show me the light." It doesn't work that way. Usually you have to plant a seed, and then later on down the line, perhaps as that person encounters more life experience with the government people, that they'll start to see, oh, boy, those guys might have been right, what they were saying about the violence inherent in the system. In this case, she writes to me and says...
I thought that was interesting. One of the things you said previously is comparing the state to parents. Mm-hmm. And people do this a lot. But there's a difference between the state and parents. Parents own the land on which you live. They feed you the food that you eat. They buy you the stuff that you have to live. You are their ward. Whereas when it comes to the state, it's exactly the opposite. The state is a creation of people, and it survives only by the work of those that are, you know, working in the marketplace. The state is whereas the parents are the host and you are the parasite, the state is the parasite and you are we, quote unquote, collectively.
But it doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem that way to someone who's in school, because
somebody who had never ever worked for a living.
Right. They're getting fed by the state while they're at the school.
Sure. Now, when she goes and she starts working for a living and has money taken out of her paycheck, and then, by the way, this progresses to the point that you're paying a good portion of your wages. Some people would say, now we're not just talking about income tax here. We're talking about all the different taxes, the dozens and dozens of different taxes from cell phones to property taxes to state taxes. Mm-hmm. Taxes to income taxes in the state and federal level, the unseen taxes that come in the form of regulations on businesses, the taxes on gasoline that everything is moved around by. So all these taxes, some people will claim that as much as 50% of your earnings go to the government in some, or are wasted by the government, or are eaten up. The efficiency of your money is, some people would even claim more than this, but I think 50% is a reasonable number to look at, is eaten up by taxes, inefficiencies, and regulations and these kinds of things. So once you enter into the world and you realize that that this is the mess that the government has made, and frankly, it doesn't provide that much for the mess that creates.
My only criticism of what you said is I don't really like to think of parents as wards over their children, mm-hmm. but more like caregivers, since, from when they're born, they're least able to take care of themselves, and they become more and more able. So the parents' job is to make sure that they're able to take care of themselves. Once
I like that idea, but
it's a much more positive view of parenting.
It's essentially, it denies that parents have certain rights. If you live under my roof, then I set the rules.
Right, but then the children should
My rules can be good or they
The young
stink.
Adults should also be able to leave if their rules aren't good.
They should
However,
be,
but unfortunately
the government
stops
prevents young adults from going out and getting jobs. I mean, right. They make it almost impossible for them to work, impossible to work prior to 14, almost
Very
impossible to work
to
at 14 and 15, and difficult to work at 16 to 18.
She says, if I were to not go to school for whatever reason, there would be no violence. Yes, by law it is required, but I'm glad it is. And before she goes on, I'd like to just break that down real quick. So clearly, she hasn't been introduced to the idea of the gun in the room. She doesn't realize that it's there. That whenever it's required by law, as she admits, that it's required by law, then there's violence there.
How are laws enforced?
Right. Why is it required?
When a cop comes and gets you and you believe you're within your rights to be free,
yeah.
And you act like you're not going to be, that you're not going to be taken away to be put in some jail cell or whatever, or drawn to court or whatever, in whatever way manipulated against your will, you can believe they're going to use violence upon you.
Maybe not
just
you.
Try
your parents.
To act like you're free and see if the violence isn't there. I'd like to, here's a Harriet Tubman quote out there, and I think it's very important to bring up at this point. What is it? I freed 1,000 slaves. This is the Underground Railroad activist from the 19th century. I freed 1,000 slaves, and I'd have freed 1,000 more if they'd known they were enslaved. These were real live slaves, chattel slaves, the worst kind of slavery this country has ever seen. And she said she could have freed 1,000 more if they would have known they were slaves, meaning that they were that their chains rested lightly enough upon them that they were more scared of the consequences of speaking out.
Massa is very good to us. He feeds us.
That's her quote, not mine. So.
No, I'm just trying to think of what a slave would...
Right,
I'm trying to think of the mentality of a slave who is treated as if they, he or she has no rights, and then how does she reconcile that?
It's the slave who can't envision what life would be like outside of the plantation. I mean, they've been raised on this plantation the whole time they've been there, and this is just life. I mean, this is how things are. And the idea that if the plantation were to go away or something were to happen to Massa or whatever, oh my God, what would we do? And that's basically where she goes in the rest of this paragraph. She says... She admits that it's required that she go to school by law, but she says, I'm glad it is. I would be getting nowhere in my life if it weren't for school. I wouldn't know anyone. I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have motivation. I would be missing out on a lot. Also,
if school can't possibly exist
without the government.
Taxes.
Right.
I mean, I don't care what the government calls itself. I care how it goes about funding itself. If you didn't go to every single house and threaten them for money once or twice a year, depending on where you live, that school couldn't exist. This girl is not living in rags and, has an outhouse. She's a middle-class individual, likely. I don't know her. And her parents could absolutely, if they didn't have to pay, what are the property taxes in Keene? $6,000.
Well, this is the southern school, so it's probably
$3,000 a year in property taxes. They could afford to send her to a private school. She'll still have school.
Toll-free number is 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, but it's outside her paradigm. It's Free Talk Live.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TERRAGANIX.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Do you use a CPAP breathing device to help treat sleep apnea and prevent snoring? If so, you should know big insurance companies and government regulations can affect the way you buy sleep apnea equipment. They decide what devices you receive, when you get replacement equipment, and even what you pay.
Why limit the quality of your treatment? Break away from institutionalized healthcare and shop where you set the sleep therapy standard. Shop at CPAP.com. See what? CPAP. It stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. CPAP.com has the equipment you want in stock and ready to ship today. Visit CPAP.com to see all of your sleep apnea equipment options or call toll-free 1-855-SNORE-11. That's 1-855-766-7311 to speak with a friendly sleep apnea expert who will answer all of your questions. Mention this ad for free shipping. Again, that's CPAP.com. CPAP.com. CPAP. Your money, your treatment, your choice.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Brought to you by SACL CAI, 1-855-450-3733. You can, of course, bring up anything you want. You can comment on the discussion we've been having, which has been about schools and a lot of misconceptions that people in government school have, like the idea that it's not forced, that we're not forced to pay for these government schools. 855-450-FREE. I mentioned SACL CAI. Mark, tell me about it.
SACL CAI is a company that handles accounts receivable. They'll handle them for your company, too. They do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. Their employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only want to collect your money, but you want to keep your clients, too. It's SACL CAI. You can see their banner at freetalklive.com. It's the top one on the right-hand side of the page. SACL CAI.
Let's go to Larry listening in Indy to WXNT. Larry, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Allie, and Mark.
How you doing, man?
Hey, Larry.
So when you bring up the subject of chattel slavery, that was a very a divine part of our history in this country as persons who descended from Africans. And you know what else happened, too? There were the states, the border states, Delaware, Maryland, the District of Columbia, Virginia, and Kentucky, bred slaves as a part of their domestic institutions and shipped them down south to be worked out in the cotton fields in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. So, you know, you talk about the mentality of a slave, it was bred into him. And
sure,
even some of those instincts hold over today as us being laborers and servants. And I'm perfectly happy to qualify and be put right alongside slaves because they were a very important part of this history of this country, and that people would try to look them over or compare being a slave to something derogatory, I think you need to do more research.
Well, I'm not saying that it's that they didn't work hard and they didn't provide value to the nation. I think that they should have been compensated for their work. Frankly, there are lots of letters from former slaves to masters that tried to hire them, say after the Civil War or after they'd been freed or whatever, that essentially say the same things that I'm saying.
Well, you know what I feel that the compensation for us as persons of African descent, our existence today was our compensation. Slavery should have never ended. Slavery should have been allowed to play its way out. In fact, the way that the law is jumbled up now, before the law, persons of African descent are still slaves. But we don't know that. And what you're talking about, the kind of slavery you're talking about, is that we feel that we have certain rights. There's no such thing as the Constitution. The only law we live under now is mercantile law. Ever since the Civil War, it's based on chattel slavery. So, you know, to talk about slaves and the kind of slavery you're talking about is a person who's a slave and don't know he's a slave. Now, if you know you're a slave...
That's the best kind of slave.
The best slave that don't know he's a slave. But when you know that you're a slave, the Romans, they're slaves. You go to a slave cell, the slave's picking his master. So, you know, that's not all about being a slave, because you get relieved of a lot of situations, and I think it's nothing that time can't overcome to free you from your position if it's over time that you're going to allow and be patient, because slaves, I feel that if blacks would have been kept in slavery and kept in segregation, we would have been all in this country right now, because the way it was happening is the big families, the wealthy families and planters and so forth, of course, they had their mammies in the house taking care of their kids, doing everything for them. They would have came along and they would have been switched, because their offspring would not understand. Just like a solo business, after the principal dies, the business dies. And that concept would have ended.
I'm sorry, it's getting a little bit, it was a little hard to understand what you're saying. You said after the principal dies, the business dies?
The business dies in most cases. Or either two or three generations down the line.
But these, are you saying that the mammy would be handed over the plantation? I mean, that seems unlikely.
What happened is over time, like you look at 100 years of slavery, and with the advances in technology, America would not be able to keep lying about how free she was and then have slaves. And I don't know what the high-tech form of it would be, but they would not be able to lie and get away with it for sure with the eyes of the world on them. So, you know, that would have worked out. There would have been a jubilee. But as we have it now, it was a phony dissolution of slavery that never really happened. So
there is some validity to what you're saying as far as, like, if you talk about the Civil War and everything and how forcing sort of, you know, using slavery and pretending like that's the big issue and then trying to force people not to have slaves when the rest of the world somehow was able to eradicate slavery peacefully, that's legitimate. And maybe, you know, and people have used that argument to explain why we have certain laws that seem to be prejudiced against minorities. If you look at prison populations, they're very prejudiced against minorities.
But you know what happened is what we wanted to do when we looked at the horrifying fact of slavery. We wanted somehow, because we're a Christian nation, supposedly, we wanted to repent and we wanted to be punished. So when the blood started flowing, it kept on flowing. The Jews that bred most of my people took off for Europe, destabilized their money, and then they got what they got coming. But, you know, slavery...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
at this point.
I'm just saying,
it's getting somewhat esoteric.
But slavery is a concept that has failed every time, and you can't...
That much is true.
Again. Slavery is a concept. I like that.
You are right, and it has failed, and it would have failed on its own volition. That much I agree with you on. And, Larry, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. At 855-450-FREE.
Oh, and he said that it hasn't actually gone away, and I would agree with that statement, too.
No doubt.
At this point, we are all much more equal slaves.
Well, I don't see why someone, you know, the people that would want to be slaves, I don't see why they... couldn't just voluntarily say, hey, I kind of like this, what we've got going on, me living in your house and, you know, getting...
You telling me what to
you
do.
You telling me what to do and me not being compensated. I just like that. So
it's
let's
not
keep
unlike
it going.
Many Americans live today. And but the reason I don't use the term slave to describe, generally describe what, you know, people are in today, I prefer serfdom,
yeah,
is because it's not quite as a loaded term.
It doesn't evoke, serf doesn't evoke the same...
But a serf is a form of slave. I mean, it's
sure,
a form of slavery,
sure.
But people think of chattel slavery, as Larry was referring to, when they think of slaves, because that's sort of the most recent aspect of it in American history that gets discussed.
So we're back to this email here, this message from the young lady at a local school who's upset with some of the things that were being done with people being reached out to at the local school. Myself and other activists going on campus to hand out information upset some people, including her. And she says that, I agree with you about obedience. That being said, there's obviously another way you could have gone about this. It isn't about obedience. It's about my main point of respect. They're different. Similar, but different.
So I think she's got a reasonable position on this respect thing. You know, what these students, I'm not saying all the students, what some of these students feel is that they, through their principal who represents their school that they're attached to, have been besmirched. And, you know, it's a collectivist mindset, there's no doubt about mm-hmm. it, but, you know, it's their mindset, and you can say what you want to say about it. I remember when I was in high school, and I cared a great deal for a period of time about that football team. Those guys that wouldn't give me the time of day in high school, and the colors that they wore, and whether or not they won out there on the field, and if they got hurt, and, you know, I cared a great deal about those guys.
She says, I'm afraid you don't see the difference, though. Doing whatever you want is disrespectful when someone else asks otherwise in most cases. Otherwise, it's courtesy. You don't need to do what you're told when you're told to do it all the time. You have the power to say no, but when it comes to issues affecting others, especially minors, it would be respect. So again, the suggestion again being that because some people told us that they didn't want us there, that we should have just gone away.
Well, I think that this could be turned around. If the school principal is the school principal by asking pushing the issue of and calling the cops, is he disrespecting you? You want something, he wants something, right?
Well, I see where you're coming
now,
from.
Now, she's taking the argument from authority. I can't remember what that is in the Latin. But she's taking the argument from authority, which is that the principal gets to say, and if you don't listen to the principal, you're being disrespectful. Well,
right.
In fact, you're the property owner and the taxpayers, so it doesn't the principal work for you? So therefore, aren't you the final authority?
So good questions. 855-450-FREE, the SACL CAI toll-free line. If you have any answers, you're welcome to share them. Bring up whatever's on your mind in the remaining moments of Free Talk Live, which are next.
Heritage for the Blind reminds you to be kind. There's something you can do for those who depend on you. Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS, 1-800-DONATE-CARS today.
Heritage for the Blind is an IRS-recognized charity, and your donation is tax-deductible. Whether your car runs or not, we'll tow it away for free. And as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day hotel voucher to one of many exciting locations. So be a star. Donate your car. Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS or call 1-800-555-6689. And remember, you can prevent blindness by getting your eyes checked annually.
Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS. 1-800-DONATE-CARS today.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe. 100% amazing. Try liquid zeolite today.
Thousands of items, 47 categories, 101 name brands. Attention all outdoor geeks now listening to this broadcast. Your outfitters of outdoor gear and electronic gadgets is WildernessGeek.com. Discover a retail superstore of emergency survival, firearms, tactical accessories, camping, boating, hunting, and search and rescue gear like the life-saving laser flares used by Coast Guard and other rescue agencies. WildernessGeek.com is your electronic supplier of two-way and shortwave radios, GPSs, marine electronics, and portable solar chargers. Plus, WildernessGeek.com has experienced emergency search and rescue service personnel to help you find what you need and learn how to use it. And the best part? Free shipping on orders of $100 or more in the continental U.S. Plus, 5% discount to all radio listeners and rescuers. Go to WildernessGeek.com. That's WildernessGeek.com, the electronic outdoor emergency survival gear superstore.
Get over 6,000 preparedness items. Get you ready. That's what you'll find at GetReadySurvival.com. Over 6,000 preparedness items. And counting, because we're adding new items nearly every day. GetReadySurvival.com has it all. Small and family-sized tents, backpacks, sleeping bags, food supplies. Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com. Portable water filters, canteens and hydro packs, knives, axes, shovels, compasses, camouflage and tactical gear, fire starters and ammunition. It's all at GetReadySurvival.com. How about first aid, medical, emergency, or small personal survival kits? Get yours at GetReadySurvival.com. If you're not prepared or just semi-prepared, the place to get prepared now is GetReadySurvival.com. Got questions? Call 928-541-9723. That's 928-541-9723. Or go to GetReadySurvival.com. And remember, survival preparedness means living on your own terms.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, moments remain, enough time for your call. If you make it now, 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Otherwise, we'll continue to analyze and dissect and comment upon the email here from the young lady in high school. Just kind of get a look into the mind of one person who's inside the government school system right now, what they believe, what they think. 855-453. Here with you tonight, it's Ian.
Allie.
And Mark.
And we invite you over to freetalklive.com, where you'll find all manner of features, including different ways for you to interact with our listeners. You can go to bbs.freetalklive.com. You'll find our forum there, as well as show notes from each night. And it's all there, and it's all free at bbs.freetalklive.com. We're sharing with you an email from a young lady in a local high school who has been upset about how an outreach activity has been approached at her high school. She believes it could have been done differently, more respectfully, like, you know, not bringing video cameras on the campus, or asking permission first before trying to hand something out. But there are reasons for all of the things that we did, right? So the reason that we didn't ask permission is because, well, if you're asking permission, you're not exercising your rights. If you're asking permission, you're asking to be granted a privilege. And if I have the right to assemble and the right to free speech, then I don't ask permission to do those things. Because the moment you ask permission to engage in what should be a right, you've given up your rights. And to me,
it's
rights,
not a right anymore.
Right. To me, rights matter. And so, therefore, I'm not willing to do to ask permission.
But a lot of what she's the point she's made here recently is about respect. And I would agree that rights can be tempered with respect. There's no doubt about that.
Sure. But the reason the video cameras were there in the first place was to provide protection for us from what these bureaucrats could possibly do.
Yeah, they could say anything.
Right. They could. Exactly. They could make something up. They could call the police. They could have us arrested. And so we need to have the cameras there to protect ourselves. And I was not making a point of recording young people with these video cameras.
Right, and you know, it's a good idea to, at times, to record your interactions with government bureaucrats because, you know, frankly, the law always leans towards them and whatever they say.
Absolutely.
You know, try to get into an argument with a police officer and, you know, decide who the judge is going to go with.
So she makes a few good points about her friend Mason, who was the guy that came out to speak to us, to tell us that we weren't wanted there. I think he was really brave to come out and stand in front of the cameras and say what he did. I have a lot of respect for him for doing that. And she's upset that Derek J was, you know, kind of poking fun at him in the video that he made, which you can see over at freekeen.com. Just click government schools in the categories, and it'll come up with the three videos that that were made from this. And she points out that she says that Mason did approach you peacefully, from what I understand is your main point. But he just got made fun of, mainly by Derek. So by respecting you gives the right to make fun of the students, but your disrespecting us makes us rude and violent. No, I don't think I ever suggested that that the students there were violent, although certainly some of them have been a little nasty towards us.
Is she somehow identifying so strongly with the principal that when he's... called, people say that he's being calling the police, and that's like the police might do some violence, and so people say
maybe she's thinking that I'm suggesting that because they're using the police that they're all violent.
Right.
I see where you're coming from.
She supports the having called the police, that therefore she is on the side of the violence.
Perhaps. I'm sorry, she says, but yet again, that's hypocritical. There's nothing fair about that. Do you agree? The staff went to examine whether or not you seemed to be a threat. When asked to get your information, looked over to make sure that it wasn't dangerous to our students, you refused.
Dangerous information?
That led to Mr. Butterfield, the principal, believing it was dangerous. Then the group started being disrespectful. I believe one of the group's videos includes the name Butterball. To me, that is extremely disrespectful. I don't know about you, but sure. I'd be offended. Yeah, it was disrespectful. I will totally cop to that. And I agree that two wrongs don't make a right. We were pretty upset about this guy and how he was treating us. You know, he was the one that was threatening us, and so we came back with poking fun at his shape. And you're right. She's absolutely right. That was inappropriate. And it was very high school of us.
Well, I think it's...
I'll cop to that one.
I think you just didn't need to. It's not unnecessary because the video...
he looks bad enough.
Right. Yeah. What he was saying and just the way he was portraying himself was already looked bad. So why, you know, add to that? If, you know, just have... Try to not seem so biased, and then people can make up their own mind. Is this person acting responsibly and respectfully?
You make a good point, Allie. She goes on to say that now I've done my research before I got into this discussion, so yes, I do know what a citizen is, because I'd asked her, does she know what it is? She had talked about a citizen before in one of her emails, and so I'd asked her, well, do you know what that even is? And she says, it's a member of a state who owes allegiance and respect to its government and officials, and in return is entitled to protection.
Oh boy, she stepped in your bear trap, didn't she?
I do believe I am a citizen. I respect my government. Now, the next question is, do you?
Okay, so, you know, obviously, you know, the Supreme Court has, and, you know, she wouldn't know this, the Supreme Court has ruled on multiple occasions, you know, just look up Supreme Court right to protect, or obligation to protect, and you will see case after case after case after case after case where the government, the Supreme Court claims the government has no obligation to protect you. So, therefore, if the government doesn't have an obligation to protect you, you can't possibly be a citizen. Because your definition includes the obligation to protect, and there is no obligation to protect,
and
so therefore, you are not a citizen.
Right, and so why would I have respect for anything like that?
Yeah, right. I mean, you know...
What's respectable about that agreement? There is no agreement.
Try actually looking up what a SERF is and explaining to yourself, and you could write an email if you want, explaining to yourself what is the difference between a SERF and what you are.
The so-called citizen.
Yeah, I mean, you're a serf is tied to the land. Well, you've got to pay their taxes and fees in order to leave the country. if you want to leave, you've got to pay. In Roman times, slaves could buy their freedom. They could buy their freedom even chattel slavery time, or other people could buy it for them.
Can't even do that now.
Right. I mean, you know, where are you going to go where you're not, where some sovereign, where government doesn't claim sovereign ownership over the land, and you have to pay them? Taxes are theft. Now, you can pay them happily, or you can pay them begrudgingly, but that doesn't, in the same way that you can happily give your wallet to an armed robber, or unhappily give your wallet to an armed robber, but it doesn't change that you're being robbed.
She says, she's going on to another paragraph here. She says that the beliefs of the community as a whole should be respected, instead of the few who didn't get their way try to do what they want anyways, which is what I believe you are doing. If you believe Freekeen is doing otherwise, please tell me how so. The beliefs, she says, of the community as a whole should be respected. How do you feel about that one?
You know, clearly communities have moors. You know, there's no doubt that you're going to pay a price for violating the moors of a community. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, you know, a collective of people have no more rights than individuals have. So if you have the right to life, then I can't get together with four other of my other friends in a community of five people and say, okay, we're going to kill you now because we believe that you need to die.
Right. She doesn't finish her statement. The rights of the community should be respected if you want to keep your house and your property and your livelihood, if you want to be free to go. I mean, what she's implying is if you don't respect the rights of the community, then I support your liberty being taken away from you. That's not how it works. You can think that how people ought to act or should act all you want. But if you're saying if you don't act the way I think you ought to act, then I think violence should be used against you, then well, what are you, actions are you talking about specifically? Because that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and I really hate the format of emails or message board posts and all these things for trying to convince people. Some folks can manage to do it, and I'm sure some people have been convinced of the ideas of liberty based on message board posts and things like that. But I think it's the rare individual.
Yeah.
I think that people get extraordinarily slippery on in their logic when they you know, are dealing with things in the written word.
And they always dodge questions, too. There are several questions I asked that I didn't get answers.
Yeah, you're not going to get an answer to a question like that. And so you have, essentially, these things have to be done in real life,
at
you know, real time, and, you know, sadly, otherwise they don't work. Even in this this format where we're essentially, you know, talking, you know, if she listens to this, and who knows if she will, if she listens to this, she's still going to have questions because she's not in the, you know, she's still going to have rebuttals that don't get answered because
right.
she's not in real time.
Right. So finally here, so by the way, in regards to your question about the beliefs of the community should be respected, obviously, you know, if you want to be able to get along in life, there's certain social stigma that you shouldn't involve yourself in publicly. But on the other hand, there are certain things that the majority believes that are clearly, to me and others like me, believe are wrong. So, like the idea, for instance, of putting peaceful people in cages. I think that's wrong, and I'm willing to protest against it and put my own freedom on the line to show people how important that is to me that that stuff not happen. So, no, the beliefs of the community should not always be respected if what the beliefs of the community are incorrect, like supporting slavery,
right,
for
the beliefs,
instance.
Right, the beliefs of the community at one point supported slavery. Beliefs of some community thought it was okay to gas Jews.
She says, lastly, thank you for taking the time to listen and reply. It's actually quite interesting seeing different ways to look at the government and such. So
sounds like she's ready to learn.
There's some value in this conversation, yep. in these conversations, but there sure is a lot of anger from some of these kids at the school, and it's tough to handle, but we're
some
not
are going to be ready to listen, some aren't.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow night online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be, and find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at crossbreedholsters.com. Again, that's crossbreedholsters.com. Here on Free Talk Live, we've been pretty excited about the Bitcoin. It's a decentralized, free market digital currency. You can learn more about it at weusecoins.com. But if you already have some Bitcoins and you'd like to spend them, you can spend them at spendbitcoins.com. When you spend Bitcoins on Amazon via spendbitcoins.com, Free Talk Live gets a cut. Or if you're an Australian trying to figure out how to buy Bitcoins, you can buy them with cash at au.spendbitcoins.com. Once again, that's spendbitcoins.com.